Acts 20, verse 28. I've looked at a couple of times the church of tomorrow and dealing with the church of today needs to be what it should be if the church of tomorrow is going to be what it needs to be. That means we need to be what we need to be. I've looked at the picture of the past. So many times we look back in the past and look at what God used to do, and since He isn't doing that now, seemingly, if we aren't careful, we'll get discouraged. But I want to see if He did it then, He can do it now. And then also the people of the pews, that's where the need is, not only theirs, we'll find out in just a minute, but the people in a church is what makes the church that it is. And the church will never be more than what we are as its people. And then the purpose of the program. Why are we here? And I mentioned some things. We, as I said this morning, we're not a moose lodge or the lion's den or club. We're a church. I want to look at this, and you may be thinking that I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching about myself. And hopefully you'll be willing to pray for me more fervently when I get through with this message tonight. But I don't want to leave myself out. Number four, the problems of the pulpit. Notice what it says. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. He's talking primarily to the preachers. And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He had purchased with His blood. To feed the church of God which He had purchased with His own blood. This is an expensive organism. The church is not an organization, it's an organism, it's a living, breathing entity. And God sent His Son, and the Son gave His blood that we might have a church, and of course for the church, His body. But He says to the pastor, to the preacher, take heed. It has the idea of a constant attention. It also has the idea of responding appropriately. I'll tell you one thing already right now. I'm feeling kind of discouraged about this. We are to have a constant attention, and we are to respond appropriately for whatever comes. And I'll just say right now, in this day, that's not an easy task. It is difficult, always has been. But I am finding in these days, and I've been saved 46 years, and preaching since 1980. July was my anniversary as far as preaching. And I have never seen it like it is now. With preachers being discouraged and just worn out. I thought the other day, I've been hearing about the revivals in the area. And of course I think about the churches in the area. And I thought about how many churches of our type or like you, you have a pastor, and they do, that's been at the church a while. And you get used to them, and they get used to you, and there's a danger in that. So that's one of the problems that can arise. But so many of my preacher friends, as we talk, and as they open up somewhat, I find out they're tired, they're worn out because of all that's going on. So I want to mention tonight some of the problems of the pulpit. You do not get excluded tonight, but I am dealing with the pulpit situations of churches. There's a problem in the pulpit of failing pastors. That's why He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Before you can help somebody else, you got to get help for yourself. Before you can tell them to do it, you need to be doing it yourself. That is not suggesting for a second that a preacher cannot preach on something that he is struggling with or trying to improve on. I promise you, every preacher I know, including the one you're listening to, we have not arrived. And there's things we hope to be improving on and trying to, but we still need to realize a preacher is a preacher. He's a man. In verse 19, it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul opens up his heart and he says, this thing has not been easy. This serving the Lord, this walking with Him has been difficult at times. And he says, I have done it with humility of mind and with many tears, burdensome tears and brokenness tears and tears of joy, no doubt, also on occasion. He said, and temptations. You see, the preacher's just like you. A preacher is a shepherd, but the strange thing about it is a preacher is not only a shepherd, he's a sheep too. That's unique. I am one of you. I am not above you, better than you, different than you. Every preacher's a preacher, but he's a man. He's a person. And therefore, he has the same issues that you do and the same struggles that you do and the same problems that you do and will fail just like you. Doesn't make it right. In fact, it may be more wrong, but it's still a fact. The personal life of a preacher is vitally important. I said it already. Hopefully he is still growing and still learning and still developing, but he also is still failing. And this Bible talks about the preacher, and he calls it, God calls the preacher the man of God. In the Old Testament, that title is given often. But in the New Testament, the only preacher that's called the man of God is this man called Timothy that we read about later on. He is a man of God. Well, what does that mean, that he's way up here? Oh, no, it means that he belongs to God. And he is God's property. And therefore, a preacher cannot be his own. He cannot have his own goals and his own desires and his own interests, not if he's going to be a true man of God. I'm talking about there's a problem in the church and the problems in the pulpit sometimes, and that's because of failing pastors. Our actions just like yours and our attitude just like yours is something that's important, and both should please God. My desire, preacher's desires, should not matter. I said it already, my goals should not matter unless they're God's goals. The problem of the pulpit, there's the problem of the failing pastors. There's the problem of the flawed preaching. Now, one thing I want to always be certain about is to tell the truth. And to find in this Bible what it says, and then tell us what it says. In that verse 28, it says, take heed thereunto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. Well, if we're going to be fed, I better find out what's in this book. And I better find out what God says, and then when I come to this pulpit, I better tell you. I cannot tell you what I think or what I want, even though there are times I wish I could. And that does not mean I always want to be mean. Sometimes I really want to be sweet when I'm not. You may not agree with that, but it really is. Now, it used to be, if I didn't get mad, I didn't think I was preaching. But those days hopefully are just about gone. I tell you what I'm talking about. There's a problem. There's a problem with failing pastors, men who are just tired and weary and failing. And then there's a problem with the flawed preaching. In verse 20 of that same chapter, it says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He said, I didn't keep back anything that was going to help you. That means what I did give you would help you if you would listen. I'm talking about flawed preaching when it's something that will not help. I have said back when we was teaching through Matthew, the traditions of men that Jesus always condemned. And I have, as I've been studying Esther on my own, I have heard and read about the traditions that the Jews had that just add things to the Bible that are just absolutely, if they weren't so serious, it would be comical. Those kind of things don't help us. Fairy tales don't help us. What helps us is this Bible. He said, I have given you what is profitable. I haven't held back what will help you. That means it will help us, but we have to listen. I say this Bible is profitable. It'll do you good. It is the answer. It has the answer of whatever we need. It can comfort those who are troubled. It can challenge those who are weary. It can cut those who are wrong. It can correct those who are wrong. It can convict those who are lost. This Bible is profitable, and that's what we need. And I beg you to pray for me that I can preach the Word, and not only preach the Word, but preach it in a way that's understandable and make sure it's correct and biblical. Verse 27 says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I made sure I told you everything I knew about the Bible, that what he told me, I told you. And if a man of God is God's spokesman, he better make sure that he does that. That he tells people what God says. And if he is telling people what God says, it's so important that we, including me, listen to him. I do not preach to you. I preach with you. In other words, it's for me too. The message I preach, I've studied on all week long, and then when I preach it, I get it again. So if it's tough on you, it's doubly tough on me. It's for us all. 1 Timothy 5:17 talks about the elders who labor in the word and doctrine. Sadly, some preachers who on Saturday grab up something out of a book. I cannot do that. I'm not saying I never preach somebody else's outline. Occasionally, very occasionally, I do, because I think they're so good and what we need. But even then, I put the meat comes from the Lord, and I study it myself. Preachers who just grab something out of a book, and that's what they preach almost all the time. And I believe they're shortchanging their churches, because they're not getting in this book and seeing what God wants and learning about it and letting it feed them to where when they get up, they're coming out with what God said from God. 1 Samuel 9:6, behold now, there is in this city a man of God. He is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. They said, there's a man of God over here, and what he says comes true. He knows what he's talking about because he gets what he says from the Lord. Now let's go over there and listen to him, and maybe he can tell us something to help us. That ought to be the attitude of a church. And that's why we need preachers who are not flawed in their preaching. It says there in that verse, an honorable man. That word honorable means honorable, but it has the idea of heavy, a heavy responsibility, a heavy task, because you're dealing with souls, you're dealing with the Word of God, you're dealing with God's Word and God's will for that moment, that hour, that message, that service, those people. That's a heavy responsibility, but it also has the idea, not just a bad sense of a burden, but a good sense. In other words, rich blessings come from the preacher who will preach the Word of God as it is. It says it'll surely come to pass. God's Word works. There's the problem of the failing pastors. There's the problem of the flawed preaching. There's the problem of the fleshly pride. I thought about this. Notice what it says. Take heed thereunto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. Now, I'll tell you, that doesn't make me proud. That makes me scared. To be an overseer, to be in charge, to be responsible, to know what God said and lead the church. I don't want that responsibility, even though I got it. And he says that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, have made you overseers. And if we as preachers are not careful, that will swell us up in pride, and we think we're the king on the hill. And I'll guarantee you one thing, even though the pastor is the overseer, and he's the shepherd, and he's the one that sets things in order as far as the church is concerned, he is not the dictator, better not be. He is the leader and not the dictator. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, God have set some in the church, and he's saying these preachers that he's put there, these people that he's put there to make sure the church operates as God sees fit. Titus 1:5 says, I have sent the decree that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. I've sent you there to set in order what's wrong in the church. And that can cause a fleshly pride if the preacher's not careful. I know a preacher used to be young. He's not so young anymore. And the Lord really blessed his ministry. I like him. Liked him then, still like him. And he was talking to me about the ministry that God had placed him in, and it was a very established ministry and one that any preacher who loves our kind of preaching and our kind of church would be thrilled to have. God really bless this young man. And I told him, I said, if you don't let it go to your head, you'll be fine. But he let it go to his head. And I'm not judging, I'm just looking. It's very obvious that somehow, I guess he got to where he thought he deserved it, or that he could handle it, and boy, that's bad for a young preacher. I'll tell you what, nothing worse on earth than a young preacher. But I began to see him go down, and the church go down. And finally had to leave that church, and finally went to another church, and I think he's doing better now, and I thank the Lord for that. And I said, all that to say this, there's a fleshly pride, there's a danger of any preacher, and they better be careful. I'm saying these things because it's true, but I'm saying these things because I want you to pray for me. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's the truth of a church too. We are to be making sure that our life is run decently in order, and surely our church ought to be run the same way. The pastor's not the Lord of the flock, but he's the leader. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. There's no doubt there are steps of authority. And I tell you what, until we get that, the Lord will never bless us. Until we understand God has placed authority, in government, in the home, in the church, at your workplace, and until we learn how to honor the person above us, whether we like them or not, whether they're smart or dumb, no matter what color or whatever they are, until we learn that authority over us, God will never bless us. We have to learn that authority. Just like, look at Jesus humbled himself to the Father. And he did the Father's will, and he obeyed the Father while he was on earth. Does that mean Jesus was less than the Father? Of course not. Oh, but he understood, to accomplish my Father's will, right now, I need to humble. Because he's the one that's called in the shots. Can you word it that way? So I say there's some fleshly pride that can cause problems. That's why Peter said in Peter 5:3, neither being lords over the heritage, but being in samples to the flock. He says, you're not the Lord. You're not God. You're not the king. You are a shepherd among sheep, and you're to be an example. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but be ye gentle. He talks about how he was doing as a preacher. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse careth for her children. Now there's no doubt, Paul, there were times when he came in like a stormtrooper. And he preached straight and hard. But he even then was coming as a nurse because he loved those people and he was gentle to them. I'm talking tonight about problems of the pulpit, failing pastors and flawed preaching and fleshly pride. So I want to close with this. And you know, close doesn't mean a whole lot, except for I'm turning the page. The pastor and his character. If a pastor and a preacher is to be what I've talked about this evening, there's going to be some things that must be true of his life. And number one is character. Being right. Not just doing right, being right. What he is, what he does, yes, but what he is. A preacher, a pastor needs to be clean. A clean life. Uninvolved with fleshly and worldly things. That's why there's some things I just do not do. Does that mean I don't want to? No, not all the time. There's some things that most people could do that I won't do because I'm a preacher and I just don't think it would be right for me. That's called preference, I suppose. It's my conviction. It's your preference. If the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with you and the Bible doesn't really speak against it, you have to decide whether it's right for you or wrong for you. A preacher needs to be clean. A preacher needs to be concerned. Concerned about people's needs. Concerned about the Lord's will. Concerned about the church. Concerned about the lost. Concerned about the day. Concerned about everything. Needs to be concerned. Needs to be burdened. Needs to be aware. A preacher needs to be content. Not always wanting more. Whatever the Lord's doing, if we're doing what we can, if we're doing the Lord's will, being content with what he's doing for right now does not mean he should not desire more, pray for more, go after more. But we need to realize whatever God's doing is his will and is his business. A pastor needs to be consistent. The lady that came this morning, when she was leaving, I said, well, I sure am glad you're here. And I said, please come back again. And she says, I'm here because you preach King James Bible. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I didn't change my opinion a few years ago when it would be easy to. There's some things we need to be consistent about. It is not time to change. It is not time to back up. It is not time to compromise. It's time to stand. If it was right yesterday, it'll be right today and right tomorrow. Preacher needs to be consistent. Preacher needs to be committed. Committed. The church and the Lord's will should come first. The pastor and his character, the pastor and his conduct. Character, not only what he does, but what he is. Conduct is what he does. What he does. Paul said to Timothy, the young preacher, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Man alive. He says, you are to be an example. It matters how you live. Why? Because God's watching, but so are others. And if you're out there hollering for people to do right, you better be doing right yourself. Again, that does not mean that we're perfect. If you're looking for a perfect preacher, you're at the wrong place. You already know that. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to live right. I want to be right. Paul said this, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. I'm not saying that. But Paul could. He said, you live like I live. Why? Because he thought he was so wonderful? No, but because he knew he was walking with God. He also said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He said, as long as I'm following Christ, you can follow me. And when I stop following Christ, you better stop following me. See, the pastor and the preacher is not the king. And if they start failing or start blundering in the word or their lifestyle of a significant way, it's time to deal with them. The Bible talks about that. Right. Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard. Could I say that again? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The things you've learned from me, received through me, heard by me, and seen in me, do it. He was an example, the pastor in his conduct. Pastor needs to be pure, patient through problems. I'm begging you to pray for me. A pastor in his character, a pastor in his conduct, a pastor in his conflicts. You see, you're not the only one battling a battle. The preacher has battles. We have priority battles. We battle with priority problems. There's so many needs. Somebody asked me the other day, do you work a job or are you full-time in pastoring? And I told him, I said, pastoring is a full-time job if you do it. And I respect a man that says at a church where he has to still work a job. I have a great respect for that kind of man. I honor him and I pray for them. And boy, I'm telling you, the pastor's a full-time job because there's more than just preaching. There's more than just studying. There's more than just praying. There's a lot involved with the church, and a pastor needs to make sure that their priorities are right. There's the sick and the sorrowful and the sinful and the set aside, and there's just so many things that we need to keep in order. Acts 6:4 says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the first place in the preacher's life, in the study on his knees, reading this book and praying to the Lord. There's a priority problem. Every preacher has conflicts. We battle with priority problems. We battle with personal problems. I know I look like I'm perfect and I act like I'm perfect and I have no issues and no problems and I have arrived, but I'm just fooling you. I am full of problems. I have plenty of issues. I have lived the same life you have. I've been in the same world you're in. I've had the same battles you've had. And every preacher knows what it is to have personal problems. There's a time. And there's just so much time. And there's the troubles. Every preacher has troubles too. Personal troubles. And then there's the temptation. Every preacher's tempted in one way or the other. So we have personal problems. Every pastor has his conflicts. He has to battle priority problems and battle personal problems and also has to battle people problems. I'll tell you one thing. If I had no people in my life, I could be a good Christian. I mean, listen, you take away problems and people, I got her made. But I don't want that to happen. But we need to realize, and it's not just people who cause problems, but it's someone who's sick, someone who's troubled, someone who's burdened. One of the things that bother me more than anything else, and it's quite often, is to talk with someone to get a phone call, and they present a problem to me that they're having, and I can't fix it. I can't fix it. I say so many times I'm praying for you that I get tired of it. I know y'all do. But there's some things I just cannot fix, and it bothers me. I want to make everything well. I want to make everything right. I want to make everything easy for you. I want to fix your problems. I want to take away your heartache. But the one who can, for some reason, has chosen not to. So if I could fix it, quote unquote, I'd mess up what God's doing. But there's a people problem. There's a people problem because people don't listen. A preacher preaches and people don't listen. A preacher begs and people don't listen. A preacher fusses and people don't listen. A preacher warns and people don't listen. That's just a simple fact of today that's been true since the Adam and Eve fell. There's people problems. And every preacher, and I'm trying to learn this, needs to be very careful to not be overly sensitive. Because a lot of times somebody will say something, and they don't mean to attack a preacher or belittle a preacher. They're just giving their opinion or they're making a suggestion. By the way, I've said this before, a lot of the things that's going on in this church right now are going on because somebody suggested it, and I thought, man, I wish I'd thought about that. That's a good suggestion. So it's not just me, it's all of us. A pastor and his conflicts. He has to battle priority problems and personal problems and people problems. And then I'll close. Amen. I thank the Lord too. A pastor and his character, a pastor and his conduct, a pastor and his conflicts, a pastor and his comrades. One thing we can find in this verse is he said, we're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. You are the overseer of the flock, but you need the flock. And every preacher needs some comrades, needs an ally, needs somebody with him. A preacher cannot do it alone. I think back to poor old Moses standing on the mountain trying to hold up his hands. And every time he got tired and dropped his hands, Israel started losing. When he held them up, Israel won. So Aaron and Hur got on each side of him, set him down and held up his hands. Was the victory because of Moses? Yes and no. The victory was because Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Israel won that day because there was a preacher who needed help and God help. A preacher and his comrades. Your preacher, like every preacher, needs your love, your understanding, your patience, your prayer, your assistance. And I'll tell you what, while I was getting this message, I've had it for 2 or 3 weeks, and I just didn't feel like it's the right time. I kept thinking, you're just tooting your own horn. Well, maybe that's a little bit of it, but I'm telling you, your preacher needs your prayer. Right. And we're a part of this thing together. Right. And there's other preachers that need your prayer. So easy to look down, so easy to criticize them, but listen, it's a tough row to hold in this day, but God's grace is sufficient for us, preachers, and for you. And we have no reason to complain. Let's stand together.